I know that I own nothing. I own nothing. So you can't take anything away from me. You can't take away my work. You can't take away my love. You can't take away my patience. You can't take away my kindness. You can't take away my understanding that I am not one with the turmoil of the world. I don't even talk about it. When you tell me how rotten the world is and how we're all going down the tube, how this ministry is falling, that's kind of almost like being one with it. And I am not one with it. I am set apart. I'm in the world, you know, but I'm not one with it. I am God's person to see God, to find him in our world. Who and what is he saying now? What are his eyes seeing? What are his ears hearing? These are my challenges.
You're listening to Altered Stories with Michelle Renee Gutch.
Hello, Altered Story Show listeners, and welcome to my season 3, episode 129, Growing Deeper with God, God's Story, featuring my special guest, Marie Chapin. This is your chief storyteller host, Michelle Saunders Gutch, and thank you for listening and watching my show that helps Christian women share their God stories so women around the world can hear them and never feel alone. And friends, I hope all is well. Your April month is bringing you blessings. April is the month for celebrating new beginnings. And friends, on the biblical Hebrew calendar in the months of Nisan and Iyar, celebrate the children of Israel being released from bondage to the Egyptians. This celebration is included in the spring festivals of Passover, Unleavened Bread, and Feast of First Fruits. Just a little bit of background on that. And now, friends, I wanted to ask your help. Would you please pray that God would send me a board treasurer from the Kansas City area to join the Altered Stories Ministry Board soon? Please also pray, friends, that testimonials would come forward of listeners who have been changed or encouraged in their faith by the God stories we share. Now, friends, that's enough. I'm going to do something that I love to do, and that is to bring to the mic my very special guest. I'm honored to bring Marie Chapin to you, and I'm going to share just a few words about her. She is a lot I could share, friends. I'm going to let her share more, but she is a super talented New York Times bestselling author of over 40 books. She's an international speaker, podcaster, has over 40 years of experience in professional counseling as a psychotherapist, and founded the Christian Center for Counseling and Fitness. Now that's pretty amazing. She also has a degree in studio art and combines writing books along with illustrating and painting. And she's currently a spiritual director and certified Christian life coach in her counseling practice. Now, welcome to the show, Marie. Thanks for being so patient and sitting there while I shared those things. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. And I'm so happy to be here, Michelle. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I would just love for you to share a few things more about who you are with my audience that I haven't shared. I mean, I know I went through a lot, kind of like your biography, but there's so much more to you, I know. But anything else you want to share?
Well, let's see. I feel that every day is so new, you know. I talk to so many women, especially since I agreed to be on your show, Michelle, and I ask them, well, what is your story? Story is such a big word, you know. And I looked at it myself and I thought, I didn't have a story after we talked. I thought, What story would I possibly have to tell? And the other people I talked to, I kind of got the same response. I don't have a story. But when you really look, I think that even the way you buttered the toast, your toast this morning, is a story. I think even the fact that you chose raspberry jam and not strawberry jam is a beautiful story. It's about you. It's about putting that toast in your wonderful mouth, tasting the raspberries, tasting the strawberries, reducing life to its most pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when we have this reality, I'm realizing it myself, you're asking me who I am. I guess I'm a person who is trying to realize. I believe that every day there is a new awareness in God. And so I guess if you ask me that about my story, who more about me, who I am, I guess I would say now maybe would be different than I would say maybe 20 years ago. I'm saying now because I'm more contemplative, far more concerned with who's in my heart than what I do. I would say every day I'm seeking to know more about how God wants to be loved.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So whenever you've been in a place of struggle in your life, have you found that listening to another woman's story or, you know, someone else sharing maybe something similar that you are going through has made a difference?
Always. Always. Yes. Yes. And so I would encourage your viewers to do just that, that which you are, what your ministry stands for. Yes. Yes. It's so encouraging. We're not alone, girls. That's what you're telling. That's what you're telling us. We're not alone.
Yes, absolutely. So, so when it comes to Marie, you know, you've done all these amazing things. What about your life now? I mean, well, we're going to get into your story. You're going to tell my audience a little more about growing deeper with God and what that is all about and how that is where you come to. But I guess, what is your most favorite part of where you are in your life right now? I mean, of all the things, I mean, you've done. I mean, how many languages do you speak?
Three. Just three.
Three.
Yeah.
Three. But just three. I mean, yeah, most people three. Only speak one.
Oh.
You know? And so, you know, is it the ability to use your creativity in so many different ways? Is it your artistic side? I mean, what is it, the combination of all? What about, you know, what you do in your life? Do you love doing, like, hobbies and things like that?
That's such a great question, because the answer I would have said maybe years ago, it's praying and asking God for direction and doing it. But yeah, it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. I have discovered now that in my life now, it's being one with God. And if he, you know, when you're one with him, you think like him. And you think more like him, as because it's a journey. We never completely arrived. You know, things I learned when I was a teenager, I just knew. I knew the 23rd Psalm from, I mean, I really knew what it was like, you know, to walk through the shadow of the valley, you know. But now, years later, I'm seeing it brand new. It has a deeper, it's so much richer. And so he becomes more real to us. And I think that now what it is, it's he and I. You know, he will tell me, I will feel deep in my heart something that he tells me, this is what we should do right now. And so it's up to me to do the thing that is hardest. The other day I asked him, I said, you know, which would you like? I had a couple of choices. You know, what should I do? Go this way or go there or go here or call who or whatever it was. And I heard in my heart, do the hard thing.
Wow.
The thing that's hardest. And you know, Michelle, I raised my children, and it's in every one of my books, this line.
Yeah.
Be brave and do hard things. And it's funny how you can know a thing when you're little. You know, like, I don't have the memory of coming to Jesus because I was raised in to know God. My cousin was here over Easter, and we were sharing this, that we don't have any memory of getting saved because we were always, you know, there in our homes. We were raised with it. We were taught the songs when we were babies, you know? And so the faith that I had then and all through the years is different than it is now. And that's where we want to go. That's where we want to head, for a deeper, more profound, from faith to faith, you know, moving deeper into an awareness of our oneness with Him. That what you want, you know, in my therapy and practice and in coaching, it's so surprising to me that when I get the question, what should I do? We don't think that perhaps what I want to do is God, what God wants. Does that match? Do we have the same desire? One thing I've desired of you, Lord, is to dwell in your house, to dwell in your hearts, to be alive in you, to wake up and I am in you, you know, and you are in me. And when that happens, that's what you can think about, you know, every time, all day. You can think about, is my mind really His mind? It's not I like chocolate, so He must. Well, maybe He does. You know, don't question, you know, think about that. That's okay. We are really hard on ourselves, aren't we?
Yes, we are, women especially. We're really hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just innate, and it's something that I talk to women all the time, and I'm like, oh, girl, just don't be so hard on yourself. But then I have to do self-talk too, because I'm just as hard as but I mean, I love what you're sharing, and, you know, you're not the only person I've ever spoke to about their salvation and who have said, you know, I grew up and it's just existed and God was with me all along. I mean, I know that somewhere you must have received Jesus into your heart and believed and trusted He paid the full price, but it's a journey, as you said. And so let's move along now as we are kind of in that mode of talking around growing deeper in our faith with God. And that's the title of your God story today. Marie, can you share with us where your growing deeper with God's story began, and kind of take us through that journey to where you are with that, based on all of the other things that you have done to bring you to that place?
You know, I'm so happy to share, because I think about the word, lead us not into temptation. And I think of temptation as being things that we do, but actually what has changed me and what I deal with every day is what I think and how I, for example, there are the temptations to control, to overeat, to oversleep, to lie, to cheat, to fudge, to ignore a need, to those kinds of things, to lie to ourselves, to live more ego-driven lives, thinking it's God-driven because it's what we want. The temptation to be constantly praying for one's own needs instead of just being still with Him, be still and know that I am God, is Psalm 27:4, is a lifestyle It's not a one time, uh-oh, quiet down, hush, be quiet, still, be cool, you know. No, it's a lifestyle. Be still and know. And I think about Jesus on the ship, you know, during that storm, when the storm is just blasting them. It's in Mark 4 and it's in the other books of the New Testament, where he wakes up and the storm is raging and they're going down. The water's probably up to his knees. And he looks at the water and he says, "Peace, be still." How could he say that? Where did that come from? How could he tell as a man, because he lived as a, this wasn't, if he was doing this as God, we could never do it.
Right.
But he said, "What I do, you'll do and do more." So here he is, he's looking at the water and he's saying, "Peace, be still." How can he do that? And the way, here's how he could do that. He was not one with the storm. And too much of our lives, we can live our entire Christian life being one with the storm. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, just take this. You know, I'm one with the temptation. I'm one with the rage. I'm one with the hurt. Instead of, this has nothing whatsoever to do with me. It's a different kind of praying. You know, I also think of the joy of the Lord. Is it Nehemiah 8:10? Mm-hmm. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That joy is a verb. You know, mm-hmm. I'm joying now. Hello, Maria's joying now. How are you? You know, it's a verb, something we do. And so then here's a story that I want to share about Paul and Silas. You know, and we know this scripture, how they were thrown in jail, beaten, bloody, and they were shackled, their arms, their hands, their ankles to the wall, just suffering in that jail, thrown in there. Now, can you imagine Paul saying to Silas, "I can't believe what they've done to us. How long do we have to put up with this? I know, I am just really, I think my hip is dislocated. Me too, my shoulder's killing me. This is awful. How long do we have to put up with this?" Can you imagine them talking like that?
No, but they probably were.
And they probably were beaten up with the shoulders.
Oh, pretty bad. Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. But yeah. It says that they sang. And I try to imagine how that happened, you know, them sitting there, you know, really a wreck, and all of a sudden just and then they begin to sing. And the guys in the next jail heard them, says they could hear them. What was that? Do you guys hear singing? You know, they were singing that loud. And what brought the earthquake? What brought the power of God down on them? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What brought that down? There was an earthquake, that the jail blew up, it fell apart, and the jailer is sitting out there, you know, horrified. And what brought that? Did just God saying, "Oh, I'm just going to let these, I feel sorry for them, I've got to give them a break"? Or was the joy one with his? Mm-hmm. "I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content," Paul said in Ephesians 4. "I have learned in whatsoever state to be content." And there they are singing in adverse, and they don't know if they're going to get out. They don't know if they're going to be beheaded. They don't know what's going to happen to the other believers. This is our biggest burden, our followers, the believers. We want to protect them. We want to protect the Christians, those believers, those babies. And there they are wrapped up in this misery. And they said to the jailer, "Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. I know that if we take off, you'll be in heap big trouble. So we're just going to stay here." And you know what, Michelle? That's the definition of kindness. "Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, full of mercy." That's a perfect example right there of kindness. Kindness, "Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, bud. We'll stay here for your sake." And then, of course, you know, the jailer and his whole family came to God and are in heaven now with Jesus and Paul and Silas. You know, maybe they're reminiscing, you know.
Who knows? Who knows? They've been there a length of time, right?
And that's the kind of challenge when God says, do the hard thing. You know, do the hard thing. Be brave. Do the hard thing. I have learned in whatsoever state I am in. And that means I can't be offended. You know, it's so easy to say something like, oh, why doesn't my son call? I don't believe it after all I've done for him. Or how could so-and-so say that? You know, how could they be so cruel? Wait a minute. You can't be offended. You can't be offended. And you lack nothing. Oh, my sister used to get into my stuff when we were kids, and she would wear my clothes or something. And at that time, because I was a child and thought as a child and mm-hmm. acted as a child, but I'm a big girl now. And as a big girl, I know that I own nothing. I own nothing. So you can't take anything away from me. Can't take away my love. You can't take away my patience. You can't take away my kindness. You can't take away my understanding that I am not one with the turmoil of the world. I don't even talk about it. When you tell me how rotten the world is and how we're all going down the tube and how this ministry is falling, that's kind of almost like being one with it. And I am not one with it. I am set apart. I'm in the world, you know, but I'm not one with it. I am God's person to see God, to find him, to see him in what's out there in our world. Who and what is he saying now? What are his eyes seeing? What are his ears hearing? These are my challenges. And they're so beautiful because then you begin to think. And I'll tell you something, Michelle, the way I came to this.
Yeah, this is fascinating, Marie.
Is it? Really? Yeah, he's fascinating. You can never be bored when you're with God. He's a
no, trip. Never.
So I discovered Christian meditation. And I didn't think there was such a thing, actually. I thought it all belonged, you know, to the occult and to, you know, Buddhism and all that. But actually, Christian meditation goes way back to the crucifixion. Jesus was our first Christian meditator.
Yeah.
He withdrew and taught us. And he said to us, you know, withdraw, go to a quiet place, close the door, in Matthew, he said, and be still. Be still, just sit there. So what I learned was not because I have a ministry now, Quiet Prayer, quietprayer.org. And in my new book that we're talking about here today.
Yeah, what is the name of the book? Will you bring that up?
He calls me his child.
Yep.
Just new out.
Yeah,
and talk about, there are 100 meditations in it and then affirmations. And now this is the thing that we need, that I need. I'll only talk about myself, that I need. When I realize that greater is he who is in me, I speak it to myself. I get up in the morning and I say, today is a day of great favor and goodness. Surely goodness and mercy are following me all this day. And I am filled with his spirit and all is good and I expect good. And I thank you, Jesus, for good. And I will not be tempted to put anyone down, to complain. There's my big one. Complain. Oh, boy, I'm so tired. I don't know. You know, that's just, it seems so insidious. It seems so real because that's how you feel. You know,
right.
But in reality, when we repeat it to the Lord, he's saying, well, I'm not tired. I'm not. And where's your strength? Is your strength in you?
Or is it in me?
Yeah. So sort of get your head together there. And And then I learned, you know, how to be still. I learned and I studied. I went to, and still do, went to visit all the monasteries I could. I even climbed Mount Sinai and went.
Oh my gosh, Gal.
You know,
we'll have to get pictures of that if you have any and put them up on your episode page. That'd be amazing.
I have a picture of me on a camel. I love camels. So anyhow. I learned that there were the desert Abbas and Amas, the mothers and fathers of the desert. And here's where Christian meditation took up after Jesus taught us to be still before the Lord, to just be still. They took off from Jerusalem after the crucifixion because of the persecution, and they went to the desert. They went to the deserts of Egypt. They went to Sinai. They went to Alexandria. They went to Syria. They went to, and they built little caves. They became hermits, and all they did was pray for the world.
Wow.
And that's all they did. And then they got together on certain days and they grew their own food and they got their own water. And I have read some of their sayings and their prayers, and they're just heavenly. You know, they're just heavenly. And it was from there, years later, at the foot of Mount Carmel, that the first Carmelite monastery was, and that's how the monasteries began, because they began gathering to be around these hermits who were the wisest and the most noble people. And they're still there. There's some still, well, we have hermits today living out in the hills praying for the world, but most of them are in monasteries and convents. Yeah. Given their lives, you know. Now I'm not Catholic, but I have learned so much from, in fact, they've been great teachers to me. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, Hildegard of Bingen, Julian of Norwich, you know, these people who you asked me have stories of other people, that women's stories touched you. These stories are incredible. Just the love that they felt, because during, you know, say the 11th century, they were so sick. They were sick a lot, and tuberculosis was a big thing. And what they did was, they didn't focus on healing because there was, you know,
they didn't ask
for help.
Right.
But they gave everything in their lives to God as a gift. They gave their suffering as a gift to God. It's hard for us in this day to understand that, you know, because we want to be healed right away, and we have medicine, and we have a lot more understanding into the Word of God now, for after all of these many, many eons. And so,
exactly.
And so, yeah. But to give every breath to Him, to, when we pick up a piece of toast with strawberry jam on it, to know that you and God are holding that toast, that this is a sacred moment, you know, that every moment in our lives are really very, very sacred. And in this time of quiet prayer, I had my quiet prayer this morning, we ask for nothing. We talk about nothing. We simply sit in His presence. That's very hard to do, just to be still. And I'm a type A kind of personality. You know, I like to go, as it were. I think you're the same. And so for me, when anybody tells me, oh, I can't do that, I think, yes, you can, because I think I probably was worse than you. and you just sit there in His presence. And while you're quiet, not interrupting Him, you have nowhere to go. You have nothing to do. Nobody needs you in those moments. He does His work in you without your interfering. You're just sitting there. You just show up. It's really beautiful, Michelle. And it's a journey. You know, it's that they call, I call it a practice. And it's taught me a lot. And I think that's probably the thing, the biggest thing that's happened in my Christian life in the last, 15 years. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot, Marie. I mean, what you're saying is, through the spiritual discipline of just being alone with our Heavenly Father and just being still, And I will call it a spiritual discipline almost, because it enables you to be revitalized and, like you said, to grow deeper in your relationship with God and to be able to be filled to combat or to be able to overcome the things of the world. Because if you don't put your God eyes on, I call it putting your God eyes on, you can't process the things that go on around you, because we are in a spiritual battle in this world. I mean, Jesus foretold it. And so that's why we have the Holy Spirit and all of those things. And I think your wisdom in this area and what you've achieved through your meditations, your alignment in your thinking with who God is, has brought you great peace.
Oh, yeah.
Has brought probably your witness, all those things.
Mm.
It's helped you also combat all the negativity that has gone on and goes on as a result of what we're seeing right now, right? In our world, because you've got the eyes of God in your thinking and your, you know, how you are dealing with it. Is that on your podcast too? Is that every day? Do you do these meditations live, or how do you do that?
Yeah, they're recorded guided meditations where I guide through the meditation. Some are 20 minutes long, some 10, and I teach 1 minute meditation. I like to say quiet prayer rather than, it's quiet prayer, Christian meditation, because we're focused on Jesus and it's different. There are thousands. Let's see, I looked up how many forms of meditation there are, and I think there are something like several hundred thousand, maybe.
Oh, I can't imagine.
But this is different in that we're focused on Jesus. It's completely Jesus focused. And that's how we can push aside our busy, busy thinking. One of the biggest enemies we have right now is noise. We are so accustomed to noise. We have to have noise. I know people who can't be without their car radios on or their TVs on in the house and all that. We kind of gravitate toward noise. And the problem with our noise is it's loaded with advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
we're becoming, you know, we're absorbing the culture in a way that could, you know, can be very, very negative.
Yeah.
And when I shared this about dealing with temptation, there's a meditation in this book called I Resist Meditation. In my book, he calls me his child. And this is the thing that God has taught me, that in understanding, it's all fine and good, Marie, to understand and to realize and to see, yes, you have a temptation to be, to complain, to be nervous, to be fearful, to be anxious, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, just add to the list. What are you going to do about it? So he taught me about affirmations. You begin to speak the truth, like I shared just a second ago. So some of the ones that I have in the book are, I submit my thought life to God.
Mm-hmm.
Today I submit my thought life to God. Whoa, that's heavy, isn't it?
That's huge.
I submit my thought life to God. Another one, I refuse to allow my ego to dominate my life.
That's powerful.
Isn't it? The ego is that drive within every one of us where we are the king of the universe, where we are the most important being in the universe. All of our prayers are, most of our prayers are by our, are about ourselves, you know, even from get me a parking space to, you know, send me a husband to whatever, you know, or a wife, you know, it's usually about we're first and then the world comes, you know. So when we approach that ego and say, you know, be still, and know who God is. You know, I tell myself that. Here's another one. I have the power within me to resist temptation. You know, I have, you know, not by power, not by might, but by what? My spirit. So my own power is just really not very good. And when I work a lot with people with weight problems and physical fitness problems. And we most of our lives, most of us girls have tried to lose weight in our own strength. You know, I'll go on a diet. People will call me. They want me to put them on a diet. And that's not where I believe we lose weight and keep it off. I believe we lose it because we do what this first affirmation is. I submit my thought life to God. So it's not the chocolate cheesecake, you see, that's tempting me. It's what I think about the chocolate cheesecake. What I tell myself, because the chocolate cheesecake has no voice. It's just a thing sitting on the plate. It's not alive. It's a piece of something. You know, just like, say, next to it is a cup with your coffee in it. You know, that's just a thing. But it's what I tell myself. That's the thing I'm responding to. And that's what we go to work with. And so here's another one. I will not be a victim of ignorance. That's a biggie. I will not be ignorant of the word of God. I will not be ignorant of the power of God within me. You know, God in us, the hope of glory. That's what changed. I don't know if you know the story of St. John of the Cross. He was a Carmelite monk, and he wanted to work with St. Teresa of Avila. These are Catholic people, you know, of course. And I'm not Catholic, but I'm touched by this.
Yeah, but it's still part of history and part of, I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot you're imparting and sharing with my listeners that they probably have never, ever heard about or know about.
Oh, so. Well, here's John of the Cross. He was thrown into prison by his own brothers because they didn't want to reform. They wanted to smoke and drink and do whatever they were
doing.
They didn't want to get back to the rule of the Carmelites. So they threw him in a box-like prison where he couldn't lie down and he couldn't stand up. And there was no light in this box prison, and there was no heat in the winter and nothing cool in the summer. And they fed him only a sardine and a piece of bread a day. And they took him out regularly and beat him. So there he is in this misery. Now, again, we go to Paul and Silas. You know, again, I think of them in the prison and John sitting there thinking, look at this. I have been through, I've gotten my doctorate. I've been through school. I have followed you. I have been a good monk. And now you do this to me, God. Look at this. Is this how you want me to wind up? Is this what he said? You know, I don't know. But something happened to him. And he wrote a poem called The Dark Night of the Soul. And The Dark Night of the Soul is an 8-stanza poem. It's a love song to God. It's like reading the Book of Solomon. And that dark night of the soul is not misery. It was when he realized God was in him, that the light, the glory, the food, the wonder, the joy, the coolness in the summer, the warmth in the winter, the eternity, all of eternity, all worlds, all universes, everything was within him because God was within him. And that was the brightness of the dark night of the soul. And he did escape. He was crippled for, he had, you know, is crippled for the rest of his life, but He went on to preach that very truth, God in us, the hope of glory in us, you know. And I, yes, that story absolutely moves me, like Paul and Silas sitting there, you know, shackled and singing. And what was it that touched God? What was it that got John to escape that terrible box? You know, he had to jump over a fence and or a wall and everything. What was it? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am joying now. I am joying. I have chosen to joy. I have chosen joy as a verb.
As wow. A verb. Yeah. That's a great quote. Oh my gosh, gal. Well, we could talk on and on and on. There's so much that you could impart. And I do want to just ask a few things more in addition as we wrap up. And, you know, how does one get a hold of your books and podcasts and, you know, your website, your contact info, all of that, Marie?
Well, thanks for asking. Yes. The books, all of my books, you can get on Amazon, and Amazon's good because, you know, they're cheap.
Yes.
You can
yes,
see
they are.
Buy three books instead of one. So this new book, he calls me his child, with the 100 meditations and the affirmations. Greater is the Holy Spirit in me than my ego and all the temptations in the world.
Oh, man.
this book, you can get it at Amazon. And the Quiet Prayer is, you can get it online at just simply quietprayer.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy. And me, to reach me, you can go to my website, mariechapian.com. And I love I love hearing from you, Michelle.
Oh, well, hey, this has been such an honor and such a blessing to have you. And to, I mean, you're such a gift, Marie. You are a gift. What you're imparting is a gift to help us as believers. Stay strong, stay the course, stay encouraged, walk in joy. It is so difficult. You know, I'm growing a lot. I'm growing a lot in my own, you know, my leadership, my just understanding of humility and what that looks like, and putting God on the throne and keeping him at the center and keeping him glorified. And not letting the weight of circumstances, you know, weigh me down in this world, and not to get caught up in the mindset. These are, like you said, these are all mindsets, and having
and
the mental
work.
Strength.
It takes work.
Oh, and
it?
Discipline.
Yeah.
This is
yeah,
a discipline.
You can often tell people who have not done their inner work, because it's not easy.
It
you know,
isn't. It's
stop
very
thinking
difficult.
That. Stop it now in the name of Jesus. You know, I will tell myself, no, Marie, you're not going there. Stop it now in Jesus' name. And then I shape up. It's work. It takes work to be free. And he or she whom God sets free is free indeed. And that takes real purpose. I like what you're saying, because it takes work. It takes purpose. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak the truth. You know, I'm going to speak these affirmations. I absolutely will not be led by my ego self. I will not be a victim of ignorance.
Yes.
Not ignorant of the word of God and the power of God and the glory of God and the goodness of God and the beauty of God. And I'm not ignorant of my possibility to be free. Free from my own opinions, my own little needs and wants, my own complaints, my own ideas of how the world should be run. You know, these things, I can be free, so that I am really bathed in his mind, because we're told, you know, to think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are
Ephesians, isn't that
pure, lovely, of good report, right? Mm-hmm. Think on these things.
Yeah. Well, being absorbed. So real quick, how can we support you? Like, so moving forward, where's God taking you? How can we support you?
Oh, how sweet of you. I want to support you too.
Share the podcast. Tell people about the ministry.
I will indeed.
Give. Yes. Oh, Michelle, these are all wonderful things.
It's wonderful what you're doing. Wonderful. I love it. Prayer is really just
prayer for your work. Okay. Well, there's so much power in prayer. And thanking and praising God for his goodness, his mercy, all the things he does. And then lifting one another up in prayer. And, you know, I think God loves it when we are in sisterhood and all those things.
I agree.
Unity.
So beautiful, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, friends, we're going to have this wonderful ladies' wisdom and this episode up on our website. So I am excited that you, Marie, are here again. And I thank you. And friends, now it's time to hear a mental health tip from our ministry partner and licensed mental health counselor, Sherry Puckett.
Hello, friends. This is Sherry Puckett, and I need to ask you to kind of ignore my froggy voice today. It is actually allergy season here in Kansas City, but I do have something really important I want to share with you. So I'm passionate about pushing through, so bear with me. I want you to all be very aware of what I want to call snake bites. So you may be asking, what are you talking about, snake bites? Well, my sister had a dream about being bitten by a snake, and the person holding the snake was someone she trusted. So when I say be aware of snake bites, I want you to be aware of what you are listening to and taking in from people that you trust. Sadly to say, that oftentimes the people who hurt us the most are people that we trust. So if you have someone in your life and they're constantly putting you down, or maybe they're discouraging you from fulfilling what you believe God has called you to do, maybe they say it in the kindest of ways and they say things like, oh my goodness, I don't think that's for you. You're more of this thing, or you're more suited to pursue this or that. No, 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 no. I want you to begin to have confidence that God Himself has called you to do something so uniquely special and beautiful, and He created you to do this one thing that you believe that God has called you to do. I want to read Psalm 139:5 from the Passion Translation, and it says this: You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon me, you impart a blessing to me. So, dear sisters, God has prepared the way for you. If there's something that you really feel passionate in your heart that you want to be involved with, or that you feel God is calling you to do, do not accept snake bites from people, even if they're your closest friends or relatives. Don't allow anything to stop you from pursuing what God has called you to do. So this is what I'd like you to do. I want you to be aware of your thoughts, not only the thoughts that other people are saying or the words of other people, but also what are you telling yourself about yourself? Ask yourself, is this message from God? Is it my own insecurity? Or is it something that maybe your parents or your mom or dad or friend or someone told you a long time ago and you've been living out of a wrong identity? So I want you to see through the Word of God that God Himself has called and ordained you to do something very powerful in this earth. You know, you could be called to the marketplace. Maybe your calling is to make sugar cookies, which I love, chocolate. It can be anything, raising your kids. It could be you know, starting a podcast like this one. Whatever it is, step out in faith and believe that God literally is making the way. He's paving the way for you. But you've got to do your own work too. And that means this. It means that, what do I need to do to get from where I'm at now to where I want to be in fulfilling this calling on my life? The first thing you want to do is to cleanse your mind. Write down all of the negativity, whether it comes from a trusted friend or family member or even yourself or just demonic attacks. Write it all down. Write it down. And then go through that and say, okay, this is not going to be a part of my mindset. I've got to prepare myself for that one thing that God's called me to do. And the second thing is this. Map out a plan. How am I going to get there? Ask the Holy Spirit to direct you step by step by step. And prepare your schedule so that you have the time and the energy to do what God's called you to do. Thank you for bearing with me and my froggy voice during this allergy season. Just want you to know that God loves you. You are special. And thank you for taking this time today to listen to me. Have a blessed, blessed day. And remember, avoid all the snake bites, my friends. God bless.
And until the next show, friends, be heard and be healed.
Altered Stories Ministry is a faith-based, nonprofit, and women's evangelistic storytelling ministry. If you enjoyed listening to today's story, your family and friends would probably benefit from hearing how God works in the lives of women all over the world, too. So please, subscribe to our show and share the link to this podcast. Share it on your social media. We also welcome your valued feedback on our stories. Also, we'd appreciate your prayerful consideration in sponsoring one of our future God-glorifying stories and welcome your tax-exempt financial donation. To find out more on how you can support our ministry, you can log on to our website at www.alteredstories.org.